My name is James Sagerton. This is the September 13th meeting of the National Finance Committee, Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have a quorum, and I'm going to ask Secretary R. Paul Martin to take the roll. R. Paul?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena? Chris Corey?
I'm here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt? Kim Kaufman?
Here.
Julia Kennard?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden? Sean Kelly McPherson? James Sagerton?
Here.
Susan Young? Well, that's six, and that is a quorum.
Okay. I actually thought we had seven, but that's okay.
Depending on who answered up, it counts
right.
As six.
I understand. All right, well, let's go ahead. In fact, we have a limited agenda. The meeting is now convened. We did the roll call. We are now going to adopt the agenda. I will read the agenda prior to moving it. So number one is convene meeting, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Number two is roll call. Number three is adopt agenda. Number four will be chair's announcements, 2 minutes. Number five is minutes for 3 minutes. Number six is the executive director's report, 10 minutes. Number seven is the chief financial officer's report, 10 minutes. Number eight will be review of the Pacifica Affiliates Network budget. Number nine will be the national office budget. Number 10 will be the central services formula. Number 11 will be NDA and electronic transmissions consent. Number 12 is adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. Is there any discussion?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, okay. Items 8, 9, 10, and 11 don't have time limits on them. We should have time limits on those, otherwise it's a problem.
Indeed. So for number 8, let's put 10 minutes on it for now. Number 9, I think we could put maybe 20 minutes on it. Number 10, 20 minutes. And number 11, just 2 minutes. And I wanted to ask Kim if she wanted to make any addition. I'm sorry, R. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Before you do that, this is McFadden. I just wanted to say I'm joining the meeting.
Hi, James. Thank you for letting us know.
Okay, so what I have then is, let's see. Oh, things jumped on me. That's wonderful. Okay. Let me just take these two. I just have to move a thing. Okay. So review PEN budget is 10 minutes. National office budget is 20 minutes. Central services formula is 20 minutes. And NDA and electronic transmission consent is 2 minutes. Adjourn no later than 10:15, right?
Yes, but I am going to ask Kim if she has any additions here specifically.
No, I'm waiting until we get there.
Well, we are. Agenda approval, so if you wanted to add something.
I don't know. Are you talking about going into closed session?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. That.
You had suggested that you might want to do that. So you want to add instead of adjourn no later than 10 p.m., why don't we just say adjourn to closed session? And that would be that's the amendment to the agenda. So is there any discussion? Go ahead, Art Paul.
Are we going to adjourn to executive session at 10:15?
No, I just said we would take out the time, and it would be rather than adjourn no later than 10:15, number 12 would become adjourned to executive session if this suggestion passes. And we, of course, we can't discuss too much about what it's about, but I think we can have a we can say what the general subject matter would be so that everybody knows what the purpose is. And that we know we would need to put that in a report out anyway.
Well,
so Kim, do you want to say something about it?
If we don't have a definite time to go to it, the open session could last forever, I suppose, but we'll see what we do.
Yeah, it can, but we don't, you know, we don't know when this will happen. Kim, did you want to motivate your idea that we should have it? We already scheduled a closed session. I didn't put it in the agenda. So now we're amending the agenda to include the closed session, which I didn't think we would need. Do you want to motivate without going into too much detail?
Just the boilerplate to discuss, you know, personnel or contractual issues.
Okay, that's okay with me. Is there any further discussion?
I mean, we don't have to stay there for long, you know.
I understand. That's understood. And thank you for mentioning it. Is there any objection to going to closed session after we finish the open session agenda? Hearing none, R. Paul, please add that to the official record of the agenda. And
yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so we have the amendment. I guess the amendment to the agenda has passed. Now we have to make that the main motion. Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted. And that brings us to number four, the chair's announcements. Chair's announcements are very simple tonight. We will continue review of the Pacific Affiliates Network budget. We will also discuss the national office budget and the related central services formula, and there are no other new announcements. So that takes us to minutes. Our Paul, I understand we have some minutes.
Yeah, hold on one second.
Take your time.
Well, I'll take my time, but I will copy it and paste what you just said so that we have it on the record. And then we're going to minutes.
While you're getting there, I want to say one more time, we appreciate your effort. It's a lot of work being secretary of this committee. We appreciate you taking care of the minutes.
So, I move that we adopt we approve the minutes of the August 23rd, 2022 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Any additions, subtractions? With the understanding that minutes can be adjusted at any time in the future. Hearing no objection, we'll consider them approved. Thank you, R. Paul. And now we get to the executive director's report. Stephanie, do you have a report?
Very, very short at this point. Just letting everyone know that I am taking a look at creating the budget for the national office for fiscal year 23. But as we can see from the agenda here, we just have to kind of await the central service payment structure to determine what our projected revenue will be. So I know that will lead into further discussions. Continued staff reductions or the staff reductions are underway for one of our divisions and also a station, and those motions were approved at the board national board meeting a couple of weeks ago. The division reductions are taking place at the start of this upcoming pay period, which will be on September 16th is when it will begin. And then with the staff reduction that was approved at one of the stations, I'm just awaiting at this point for an amendment to the existing SAG-AFTRA agreement, which is being written by our legal counsel. So they are in discussion with SAG-AFTRA just to finalize what that amendment should be, because we hope to be able to implement that as soon as possible. And then I'm continuing working with HR and with the general managers for continued staff reductions. We're reviewing the possibilities. Some of them may happen, some of them may not, but you know, we will determine that. For the three additional stations that haven't experienced any staff reductions yet, and then also the two remaining divisions as well, including the national office. So once we kind of figure out what those reduction plans will be, then those will be forwarded to the national board for review, discussion, and then ultimately approval as soon as they are developed. One of the things, of course, that we continue to work on a regular basis is just the lack of funding that we are experiencing, not only at a national level, but also at all of our stations as well. And as we look at the discussion of services, I think one of the things that we really need to take a very close look at is that for many years, central services and the payments for central services have just been kind of exchanged on paper with no cash actually hitting the bank. So if one of the stations has been, you know, giving money to another station because they're, or, you know, lending money to another station because they are low and not able to make payroll or something like that, rather than having that one station then get paid back, those have just been deducted on paper from central services. And it's been used often as, again, just sort of transferring of numbers on paper without any sort of cash actually hitting into the central, to the national office. And so what is, you know, happened is that the national office does cover payroll when stations can't quite make it. We cover health insurance for stations that aren't making those payments. And so even though we have some stations that may be 2, 3, or 4 months behind on some of those things, the national office still has to put forward the cash in order to cover those costs. So we really are at a point as we start discussing the projected revenue for central services in fiscal year 23, we have to be able to realize that that is income and money that needs to actually be transferred from one account to another and not just kind of transferred on paper without money actually hitting the bank, because we are continually dipping into the reserves of the national office and not ever getting, rarely getting paid for those for central services. Another thing that we need to really take a very close look at is as we get closer to more and more divisions and stations that are having a difficult time being able to meet payroll, the finance committee, and I believe this would probably be a task of the finance committee, really needs to take a close look, which is something that I'm looking at on a regular basis, and Julia as well, as to what are our steps when we get to the point that we will not be making payroll, or that a station will not have the funding to make payroll. We need to obviously immediately notify our employees, but one of the things, again, we need to take into consideration is that payroll is the covering of work that has been done, not work that is to be done. So when we are at a point where we can't fund payroll, we are informing our employees that we can't pay them for work that has been done. So we really need to take a realistic look at what kind of notification we will be giving employees when that comes into fruition, or as we get closer, because we want to be able to, you know, understand that employees may be looking for work elsewhere and give them the freedom and the support to be able to do that. I know that we've talked for many, many months about what we can do to be able to have an influx of revenue for the organization as a whole, and all of it has been discussion, but nothing has really been seriously looked at or taken into consideration, and again, you know, brought up quite a few months ago or continue to bring up is, again, this isn't something that we're recommending to do, but we may be pushed to a point where we have to do this, which is, as an organization, taking a close look at signal swapping, selling assets, declaring bankruptcy, and rather than just kind of having those as recommendations that keep putting out, actually being able to have a working group that will seriously take a look at what those involve. I've talked to individuals regarding each of these for quite a few months now, but it isn't really anything that has been pushed forward or discussed at a serious level, I think, at the national level. So that may be something that the Finance Committee needs to kind of help push forward, just so we are not taken by surprise if we run into a situation where, you know, our unwillingness sometimes to change or make changes. I don't want us to be forced in a position where we're having to do what we don't want to do, which is change, but we may have to be in that position to do that. So we're still continuing to talk to foundations and individuals regarding grants. We, again, submitted a grant a while ago to the Dew Foundation. They weren't very pleased, honestly, with our financials. So I did have a discussion with them, but it's a very low chance that we would get funding from them this year, but they suggested the possibility of reapplying next year when we might have some of our financials that are a bit more stable. But I will continue to talk with them to see what we can do for this year. I believe that is all I have. If anybody has any questions.
Stephanie, could you say what foundation that was again?
It was the Dew Foundation, DEW. They have provided funding to KPFK in the past. And I believe the last funding that we received from them was in 2019. And I had submitted a request for, there's a connection that they have at KPFK. So I had submitted on behalf to get in the air conditioning repaired. It was multiple sort of capital improvements, which was air conditioning, security, plumbing, and just sort of the overall, some overall work that needed to be done in some of the studios, some basic repairs.
Okay. Are there any questions?
R. Paul for Fastlane.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. That's the Dew Foundation, DEW, Delta Echo Whiskey?
Correct.
Okay. And did you say we'd gotten something for multiple capital improvements for them, or we're going to talk to them about it?
The application that was submitted this year was for multiple capital improvements at the building in the past.
So that's what we applied for, but we didn't get it or haven't gotten it yet?
It doesn't. It's very unlikely that we will get it. It was recommended based upon reviewing financials and just reading our audited financials that we apply next year.
Okay, thank you.
But I still am having conversations with the program manager just to see, you know, what we could possibly get this year for some of those repairs.
That's Kim to the stack.
Is that Kim?
You can let Beth go.
I heard you first. Go ahead, Kim.
R. Paul, KPFK has received two previously smallish grants from them in the past while Aniel Zuberi was GM. The highest might have been like $20,000, and another one was lower. I think they just went into the general fund, but that was a few years ago. That's it.
Beth?
Yes, I wanted to ask about progress on applying for the FEMA grant, the BRIC grant.
I have gone through two of their trainings, which you need to go through their online training programs, and just it's basically, you know, a PowerPoint workshop to move forward with that. Still trying to get that determination on whether we qualify for some of that funding. but we're making progress with it, at least following the steps and the timeline that they've suggested. So the first two workshops have been done.
And to follow up on that, when is that deadline? When does that window close?
I'll have to look that up. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I can look it up now.
And what would be the maximum possible available? I understand it's specifically for infrastructure and security, which would address our, you know, generations of deferred maintenance at various facilities.
It varies because some of this infrastructure that they're looking for is actually the hiring. One of the elements of the grant is actually the hiring of security personnel when there is a special event that is being held that could be threatened. So, for example, if you know, not really day-to-day security or building infrastructure security, but actual enhancement of security with security personnel or columns or barriers or something at an actual event.
Any follow-up, Beth?
I will be interested in ongoing progress as we pursue this grant. So I'm going to be looking for more next time. Thank you.
Any other questions? I have a couple myself, so I'll go ahead now. And anybody has any further, let me know. Stephanie, my impression is that we are going down the traditional list of grants that are available out there. I don't myself know of perhaps, you know, untraditional, you know, not wealthy families, not, you know, large corporations. But are there some, like, more progressive kinds of grants that are out there, perhaps unions? Are we contacting any unions? Are we looking at any progressive organizations that might have granting available? In other words, there's kind of a standard route that you go for grants, and I'm just, you know, I don't even know if this is a thing, but is there a non-standard route that you would go seeking grants for, you know, more progressive or non-traditional, you know, not just the normal run-of-the-mill stuff?
Yeah, well, one of the things I look at a regular basis is I'm a member of the Foundation Directory Online. So I plug in multiple, you know, communication, progressive communication, voting, you know, that I can plug in quite a bit of the criteria that we may be looking at in different, you know, something that maybe is specific to Houston or specific to DC or New York or LA or countrywide or, you know, whatever that may be. And then I will get a list of foundations, family foundations, big ones, little ones, corporate matching programs, anything. And I'll go through those lists and then go through the website, see what they cover, find out who the board members are, see if there's anybody that's recognizable, follow what they give, you know, look them up online to see where they personally give their dollars, what political party, if any, that they're associated with, and then try to work from there. So I'm not saying that it's not impossible to get money from anything, but really what is holding us back is just the financial position that we're in. Unfortunately, it's a catch-22. You know, there's not a lot of organizations that are willing to give money just to pay past due payables, because what they want to make sure that the money that they're investing in you, yes, it is a donation, but it is an investment. They want to make sure that if they're investing and giving their money to support the ongoing stability of a station or a program or whatever it may be, that there is long-term sustainability and their funding isn't something that is just kind of being given and then gone to past due bills or payables. So that's kind of where the dilemma is, and those are the things that I need to describe to people about the future and our plans and the importance as we talk with them. You know, but unfortunately, our timeline in order to receive funds
is much more pressing than often foundations or individuals or family foundations need to give out funding. So whereas we can talk to them and say, you know, we're in desperate need of money, what can you write, that kind of thing. It's not something that they say, okay, here's a check, I'm going to send it to you tomorrow. There's still a matter of, you know, each, whether it's a family foundation, a community foundation, or another group, they still have to run things by their board of directors and their grant managers and their program managers in order to get that approval to move forward. So again, what's really holding us back is just the years and years of past due payables.
And Stephanie, is there any thought to doing more or less a red alert or an honest appeal to our members, our former members, our major donors, our not so major donors, but, you know, larger donors, you know, regular loyal donors, allied historic allies or historic friends, you know, outreach to simpatico organizations, any notice of just like ringing the alarm bell in the general progressive community to let everybody know where we are?
There are, you know, e-blasts that could easily go out to our listeners. I mean, these are the same people that each individual station is asking money from on a regular basis, as well as...
If I could just interrupt you for a moment. I don't think, if I could interrupt you for just a moment, I don't think, at least what I'm hearing, and I'm not listening to all the different stations, but at least not all the time, I'm not hearing anybody saying, look, we're really on the cliff here. I mean, in the past, I've heard it numerous times, and, you know, sometimes it has seemed like, you know, maybe crying wolf. But, you know, the wolf really is at the door right now. And I'm not hearing that, at least on my own station. Is there any thought to having a wide appeal based on the fact that the wolf is really at the door and this organization, you know, a stalwart historic organization in progressive alternative media is in trouble, and, you know, an appeal on that basis?
It definitely can be, you know, can be done is, you know, as far as a national appeal to everyone, if we have lists of who our, I mean, when you were talking about our friends, our major donors, our major supporters, I've never even seen
some
a
of
list
which should
of
be in allegiance, I assume.
Yeah, some of, and, you know, I've never seen a list, honestly, of who our major donors or long-term supporters are, or organizations that we have received money from, or people that we have been stewarding, you know, for a while. And these are lists that would be extremely helpful when you have a clean database. So, you know, so I have no problem making personal phone calls and meeting people for lunch and doing what needs to be done to talk to them. But there is no list that I am aware of that I've seen of who these major supporters are that have been supporting the organization for so many years.
Back to the staff.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, our phone.
This is a 10-minute item, and we're now on minute 19.
Okay, thank you, our Paul. I'd like to get a motion to extend for, what, 5 more minutes?
I just made it.
Yeah, I heard you, Kim. A time? 5 minutes? 10? Kim?
Whatever.
Well, I mean, I'm asking you to put a time on it.
5 minutes.
How many?
This again. 5. We can do this
okay.
Again in 5.
Yeah, sure. Yep. Okay, so there's been a move to extend for 5 minutes. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, we'll go ahead. And Beth, I'm going to ask you to hold for just 1 minute while I follow up on some of this. And I guess where I'm going with this, Stephanie, is, you know, we had a national effort we had a meeting. We had program directors and general managers attend. There was a nice, at least a nice public feeling about, oh, let's all get together and do this. We'll make an effort. And then we had a rather lackluster result from the national fund drive with a premium that was well used and maybe overused. Perhaps, you know, in my opinion, it was time a while ago to do that again. You know, perhaps any thoughts about having a national fund drive with a real open appeal based on talking to our listeners about what the kind of where we are, what situation we're in, and perhaps with, you know, a wider price point, a wider variety of price point for a possible premiums. Anything going on there?
We have new premiums that are being made at the archives that have different price points. I mean, one of the things that I'm, you know, that we're running up against as well is that the stations are being put into emergency and immediate fund drives. We have, you know, their regularly scheduled fund drives are now being pushed up. They're being, you know, they're longer. And that doesn't mean it all means we can't do another national fund drive, but we're sort of competing against ourselves because we're also telling the stations, please start, you know, the urgency of getting your fund drive going now, or take it a week longer, or do something every day. So we have station level fund drives where they're asking for funding for the tower, funding for rent, funding for electricity, funding for, you know, mail machines or paper or office supplies. So we have these pressing needs that the stations are doing on a regular basis, and now we're kind of adding into that to the same listener base. Now please give us more money to try to cover some of the long-term, you know, past due payables. And I'm not saying it can't be done. We can go ahead and do that. It's just this constant, you know, do we focus on the urgency of each of the stations' fund drives, or do we pull away from a day of their fund driving just to do a national appeal? Do we try to get all of the fund drives that are raising money for the national level, and then we can help offset some of the past due payables and the payroll and the health insurance expenses and the rent expenses that some of the stations are suffering with? You know, do we, so, I mean, that may be a way to go as well, that everything becomes national and then we divvy out the money based upon all of the stations that are in need. But we're kind of competing with ourselves when we are asking the stations, again, for the urgency of immediately starting their fund drive and taking them longer. And at the same time, now let's go ahead and do a fund drive on a national level. It definitely can be done, but we just kind of have to weigh our options here as to what is most pressing at the moment, letting the stations raise funds that they need, or the national office raising funds that we need in, as a whole.
Perhaps I'm remiss in listening to the other stations and their appeals. I'm only listening, you know, when I can. Since I'm in governance, I don't even listen to the radio that much anymore because I'm mostly going to meetings. But is that actually happening? Are they actually doing those things that you describe? Is that
This is Kim.
I'm waiting for Stephanie to respond.
That's fine. I heard you, Kim.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't listen to all the stations either. All I hear is what is being told by, you know, when I talk to GMs or when I get emails, you know, because I sign up for all the email lists for the stations as well. You know, so I hear appeals for tower rent. I hear appeals for, you know, a call to action for volunteers, which is great, an appeal to help pay electric bills. So those are appeals that are going out there. As far as, you know, local stations or, you know, some of the local stations, we have some people that are appealing just to Pacifica in general. We have some messaging that is, you know, very, we need your help now, and the on-air person is, you know, crying and appealing, and then we get pushback that that's too emotional, and then, you know, we have other people that say don't do that, but yet that person's raising money. So the appeals,
are not they're messaging what the needs are for the station, or they're messaging what the needs are, for example, when it was for the archives. But the appeals at the station level are pretty much the same appeals that we could put at a national level. It would just be a matter of scripting what that appeal would be, and then asking our programmers or creating carts for those national appeals and plugging those in.
Okay, I've at least two people asking for the stack, but perhaps I'll talk to you privately later about are we having ongoing meetings with the program directors and the general managers and trying to coordinate some of these things. And we can talk about that later. But I think I'm trying to recall now. I know we have Beth. We have Kim on the stack, but I don't remember if Beth was requesting the stack prior to Kim or
yes.
Was that afterwards?
Mr. Chair, I call
yes,
for the orders of the day again.
Okay, we need an extension. Can we get a move to extend? I'm going to move to extend for another 5 minutes. Any objection? Okay, we'll go ahead for another 5. And thank you, Arpal. You seem to be the ad hoc timekeeper. I appreciate that. So I was asking, was it Beth or Kim? And I think Beth was saying it was you were the one requesting first.
I believe so, yes.
Okay, go ahead, Kim. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, Stephanie. I agree that it would have been ideal for us to have a ready-made list of prior major donors when you got here. But given that we don't, I think it should be a priority to make one. And I realize that's likely more involved than it sounds. It entails a lot of digging. I think I know my own station better than I know others. And my understanding is that a lot of that information resides resides with one staff member in particular, and I don't know how much of it. There should be a way to comb prior financial records as well, but from my perspective, with what background I have in development, I would say that ought to be a major priority, because I think at this point, I agree that it's unlikely that we are likely to get significant immediate cash in the door from conventional grants, from conventional foundations or whatever. I think the FEMA grant may be exceptional there because I don't think it's as dependent on our current financial status. And it could be significant money. It's federal money. But aside from that, I think grants would be a very long shot and take too long, and that the greatest likelihood of immediate money, significant money, would be reconnecting with the major, major donors of our past. Many of these are known people. They have had major commitments to a given station or the network in the past. A lot of that will be legacy history handed down through those who've been around longest. It may entail, sitting down with them and going through their memories. But whatever it takes to put a list like that together, I think as executive director now, and specifically one hired with development in mind, I think that needs to be a priority. And I think you shouldn't wait until we have a complete comprehensive list to start working it. I think as soon as we get names, any names, those people need to be approached immediately, because they're less likely to have processes and protocols and that sort of thing. They're more likely to have discretion over what they do with their money in the short term.
Yeah, I completely agree. To reach the low-hanging fruit, it makes perfect sense. One thing that would be extremely helpful as well is that a lot of this institutional memory and people that have relationships or connections with these major donors and friends of the organization. None of that is ever, and I will, you know, do my digging, but, you know, it would be extremely helpful for people that have been around in the organization for quite some time, and I have a lot of this institutional knowledge, the friends and the organizations that have been supporting of Pacifica for so many years, to share those lists and let people know, even at station level, who some of those major donors are. I have reached out and talked to some of the major donors at some of the stations, and they are dedicated to those stations, and I greatly appreciate that. And some of those individuals have continued to give and still give, and a lot of those individuals do get phone calls from me and handwritten notes thanking them for what they've done. But if there is, you know, members of the board or committees that have the names of these individuals, that really is very helpful when a board member uses their influence to be able to start those conversations or make an e-introduction or do something that would provide some of that information, so it's easy to be able to contact that low-hanging fruit rather than sort of, you know, which I will happily dig through our database and talk to people at the stations. But it is very helpful if that institutional knowledge is recorded and shared rather than just kept in people's brains.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Well, I'm on the track.
I'm sorry, Kim.
I am on the track.
Go ahead, Kim.
I hear a lot of sort of desperation here, and as somebody who's been around for a long time, I can say that many of our donors, big and small, have left in the last year or two. I mean, straight up, we're suffering from that. Our revenue has gone down like 50% in the last year, and our members have gone down 50% in the last year. Many of our more illustrative donors have passed on into the next realm, wherever that is. Fact is, we're not serving the public particularly well right now. The pitches are full of desperation or what I call nostalgia porn for the Pacifica that once was, and that might work in some instances, but it's limited. And the expectation that this sort of panic, you know, fundraising is going to serve to fund our operating expenses, I don't see as realistic. I mean, the hole is too big. And, you know, there's, I mean, you can do a Band-Aid, but we really need a holistic approach. And it's been very slow in sort of trying to get there. I guess that's it.
Kim, I have a question. Are you talking about what's going on at KPFK specifically, or are you trying to apply that to the whole network?
Well, more so to K, but it's pretty. It's not too much different anyplace else.
Okay. I just wanted to add a quick question, Stephanie. Have we, and this could be just yes or no, are we reaching out to any specific unions that you're looking at?
No, I am not. Michael, from KPFK, I don't know since we're on open screen what to use.
Michael Novick.
He's been able to, I mean, that's one of his projects that he really wants to follow through with and work on. So
Who?
I know that Michael Novick.
Michael Novick.
Oh, right, right,
yeah.
Right.
Just reaching out to different groups in the area. So I know that he has spoken with me about that and wanting to move forward with how to contact those individuals and start having meeting with them and figuring out what we can do that we have in common. But that's also talking about getting those members to become members of Pacifica when we really need more than, you know, just a $25 donation as far as financial support.
Right. Any other questions?
I have one more comment.
Go ahead, Kim.
I've heard this, like, oh, we need to reach out to unions, and basically that's kind of what I'm talking about this nostalgia porn. The pitch is, well, look at our mission statement. They ought to be on, you know, want to help us out because of our mission statement. And I, you know, the fact is we're not serving them with anything that means anything now. I mean, we need people who want to support us, not because of what we were, you know, in the 60s, but what we're serving them now. And it's very, very limited. And that's the problem here. And, you know,
respond.
You ask, let me finish. And you ask a group to give you money, they kind of want something in return, generally, as opposed to the people who give because they really like what they're hearing or what you do for them. You know, all of our pitches is like, what can you do for us? It's been a long time since Pacifica's gone. What could we do for you except drag out this old mission statement and the way things were, you know, 70 years ago, 60 years ago. I'm done.
Okay, the thrust of my question had nothing to do with porn or, you know, what we used to do. The implied question was, you know, have we talked to any unions? And obviously the question is, what could we do for them? And, you know, what would they be responsive to? Okay. Is there anybody else who wants to chime in here? If not, I think we better go on to the CFO report. So let's go ahead and do that. I don't hear anybody clamoring to speak. Julia, do you have a report?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. It's definitely been a hectic time with all the change that's going on. I will say that training is going well with the new business manager. We've met for several hours on various days, working on showing her how to do certain things. As well, she's worked with the payroll, our prior payroll manager, and has been being trained on that as well. I've also had to spend some time working with our engineers, issues related to the server and Great Plains. We're still having some, we've made definite progress. The new business manager has, expanded access to be able to do what she needs to do. But as of right now, something is still wrong with being able to generate the financial statements. I believe that the person who, the national office staff is reaching out to a third party vendor that he located that can assist us with Great Plains issues. He's reaching out, and we might have a call with that person tomorrow. I don't think that we should have a problem getting this fixed, but in an effort to not spend the $140 or $125, whatever it is, per 15 minutes that their fee is, we've tried to resolve it in-house, but I think we've hit a wall with that. So we're reaching out for support on that. I've been working on closing out August so we can get the financials out the beginning of next week and working with kind of in tandem with the new business manager to kind of let her try to do some of this, knowing that I'm here to help her, or we're, you know, I'm doing part of it and leaving part of it for her so she can try to fill in the rest, and just going back and forth with that. We started some of that today. Hopefully Great Plains will be where it needs to be so we can generate the reports by Monday and get them out for next week's meeting. Of course, managing cash daily has, you know, been a little stressful. It looks like we will be funding payroll tomorrow for all the units. KPFK was unable to fully fund theirs. They were about $14,000 short, if I recall correctly, which the national office stepped up and has funded for them. As far as the cash and outstanding payables, I'm sad to report that that has not improved. If I look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the units that I know the information on, 5 of the units have about $61,500 in cash, and those same 5 units together have about $815,000 in AP. So that's a pretty big gap. And that $815,000 is not stuff that's due in 6 months. It's stuff that's due by the end of the month or the beginning of October. Or has, you know, or is past, the majority of it is past due. The national office currently has the most cash, around $26,000. If we're looking at the national office versus KPFK, WPFW, WBAI, and the affiliates. The next in line would be the affiliates with about $19,000. And then WBAI with $7,000 in cash, WPFW with $5,000, and KPFK with $4,500. I know it's hard to keep it in perspective if you don't look at those numbers, you know, frequently. That is really low. WPFW has not had that low of cash since I've been working with them. WBAI tends to have swings, they've funded payroll, so of course it's going to dip, and then they'll get it back up because they have their regular daily, approach to fund drives, so it'll get up to, you know, $16,000, and we'll probably pay, you know, tower rent, and then it'll drop back down. So hopefully the a couple of the stations will be kicking off fund drives prior to the end of the month. KPFK, I know, you know, a little bit more intimately than I do some of the others, just off the top of my head. But I know, you know, as I was telling Stephanie, or maybe James, I can't remember, I know for a fact on the 20th of each month that they will be processing their recurring, and that we should be anticipating anywhere from $11,000 to $16,000, depending on what's going on that month in their recurring, their big credit, their little monthly credit card batch. So that lets me know that, well, I at least know that they can pay their health insurance for October. But then what does
that mean? You're talking about the sustainers there, Julia?
But it's not just the sustainers. I think it has a mix of other people who have decided to pay monthly.
Understood.
I could in there, but I feel like I was told that it might be a little bit of a mix of some things that he processes monthly.
Got it.
But, you know, unless we have had it in the past, it can happen, but we really need it to happen this month. We need some, you know, nice surprises coming in across the board for WBAI, WPFW, and KPFK. The main reason for that is because the national office, well, the whole, you know, not the national office, it's, you know, for the entire organization, you know, Pacifica has a large interest payment due by September 30th. And that has to be a priority. It's $48,000. So just, you know, the national office has 26,000, but we have, let's see, that's 50, that's 80. You know, between just past due health insurance and the interest payment, we have $80,000 that needs to be covered before the end of the month. If any of the other units are not able to fund their health insurance, which, you know, we're going to need to see some dramatic deposits between now and the end of the month to be able to cover payroll and health insurance. So, you know, I heard that a motion was passed last night for WPFW to start a fund drive before the end of September. I can't remember what the date is. And I apologize, I cannot remember the date for KPFK starting back up. But I don't believe that KPFK is starting before the end of the month. Do you remember, Stephanie?
No,
this is Kim.
Starting. Oh, go ahead.
No, you thought they were starting. I mean, as far as I know.
I thought they were starting before the end of the month. I thought they were starting closer to the 26th, unless I'm getting confused with PFW, because they were
going to
start
on
the 16th, but then it was pushed off. I think they were going to start on the 28th, and then we discussed the 16th, and now I'm thinking it might be closer to the 19th. The W is starting.
Okay. For KPFK?
W. I'm trying to, let me look up to see when they're starting theirs. I thought for sure they were starting it at the end, prior to the end of the month, also around the 19th to the 20th.
Yeah, I know they're definitely starting it before the end of the month.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember about KPFK, though. And I was so just had my head in central services today, so I forgot to confirm that. But anyway, you know, I just like to reiterate what Stephanie, you know, brought up in her message is that, yes, you know, and I agree with some of the other comments. We need to be focusing on major gifts and grant applications, or, you know, applications, you know, to whomever. But, you know, that is not going to be enough to get the organization out of the position that it's in. And so this work group, I think, is a very good idea. I think it is best that if it is a smaller work group, so we can just have some very streamlined, specific tasks for people to do, and then come back and obviously report to, you know, the National Finance Committee, and then, you know, or to the PMB. I fully support that, and hope that while we hope that we don't have to take some of these drastic measures, you need to be prepared so that you're not stuck with the least desirable option. I think that's about it. Any questions?
I have an immediate question. This work group that you're referring to, is this something that's in existence, or is this something that you're encouraging to be brought into existence? What are we talking about with the work group?
I'll let Stephanie answer that. It was something she mentioned, and I'm not sure if she has started that, or is that something she wants to start? I just heard her mention.
This is a smaller work group. It has been brought up, I believe, at the national level, a couple of board meetings as well, that we have a smaller task group that is doing the research and assisting as I'm doing the research on signal swapping, selling assets, and bankruptcy. So we are educating ourselves as to what that means realistically, not looking at, you know, things that may have been discussed quite a few years ago, but taking that into consideration with also things that, you know, where we are now financially, and then just having that smaller group help with the research, and then being able to present that to the board, again, educating everybody on what that means. just so we're not taken by surprise in case we're forced into doing any of these. But we have a good educated look as to what it actually means, if any, of what those options are.
Speaking of being taken by surprise, I do recall that there were some conversations about we should set up something where we could get educated on some of these things. In particular, I'm thinking about bankruptcy. I don't recall the board authorizing any work group or even being aware of any work. Is there a work group that exists now that's reviewing these things that is informal?
No, there is not. There's
okay.
People that I talk to on a, you know, just people that call me, whether they
sure.
be, you know, volunteers or staff members, and we talk about it. And I have spoken with specialists in each of those categories, but it isn't anything that I have moved forward to. You know, some of them have required a deposit or, some sort of, a payment in order to continue to provide a sales deck or to do deeper research with any of these options. But the concept of bringing up an informal task group had been discussed at the national board meeting at least a month and a half ago. But
I agree with that.
Just kind of turned into a debate as to whether it needed to be a task group or an informal task group or a committee. And it didn't really come to fruition. That hasn't stopped me from having conversations with people that we've been discussing this for a while. And we have talked about bringing in somebody that would give an educate, talk about bankruptcy and a couple attorneys from different places and different sources that would provide some sort of a workshop educating people about what bankruptcy means. And that, too, was brought up, I believe, at the board a couple of months ago, but it wasn't able to determine whether that would be done during a regular meeting, or we even gave the option of having it as an optional workshop that people could attend over the weekend or something like that. But then that, too, turned into a debate that might be taking people, not including everybody in that optional educational process.